This is FM 2.0 with the Don, Dean, Stormy, and the Grizz. Forever music.
This gentleman here, David Adam Burns, how are you?
Hey, good, man. How y'all doing?
Good, man. Nice and loud. That's how we like to hear you.
Well, good.
Nice and loud, man. Well, you know, I have to start off with this. Now, David Adam Burns has music out. There's a your album, when does that drop?
A week from Friday, so October 27th. It's coming quick.
All right. Country Gonna Be All Right is the name of it, right?
Yes, sir.
Got to say it with the country gonna be all right.
Country gonna be all right.
Yeah. You're from Arkansas?
Originally. I moved when I was 19 to Nashville, spent 11 years there, and long story short, got sick of being told I was too country for country music, so I came to Texas, where that's a good thing. So here we are.
It's no joke. Wow. Do you know Colt Barber? Have you ever heard of him?
I know of him. I don't know him.
He's a honky-tonk guy. I interviewed him like a year and a half ago. This is no joke. He is honky-tonk as honky-tonk can get. You even have a song about honky-tonk. But he went to Nashville, and they literally told him he was too country.
You just heard
the same thing. That just blows my mind in Nashville that you can't be too country.
Tyler said the same thing.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, I signed two record deals and they tried to change everything about me. I mean, I got to a point where I didn't recognize who I was looking in the mirror. And, you know, there was a critical moment where I ran into Daryl Singletary and he just looked me up and down and said, "What in the heck are you doing, man?" And
were you looking like a pop star or something? Like,
yeah, I had this long hair and, you know, dressing like every other dude walking down Music Row trying to play the part. You know, I'm not going to say it was that far apart, but it definitely wasn't my cowboy hat and just, it wasn't me. That's all there is to it. It wasn't me.
So I've heard Nashville's trying to compete with LA, take their lunch. Is that true then?
I mean, to me, it always has. I mean, you know, everybody talks about what's traditional country. Well, I mean, according to the people back in the early 90s, Garth was the Antichrist, you know? I mean, Conway Twitty was as pop as he could be when he came out. So, I mean, you know, I don't know. You just got to find your lane and do what works, but it's just, I don't know. When you listen to my kind of country and say it doesn't fit the format of country music, you got to kind of scratch your head and go, then what does? Because this is fiddle and steel guitar and everything I thought country music should be. So,
well, it shocks me because, you know, that's the story of outlaw country. Nashville didn't accept it, mm-hmm. So everybody went back to their respective states. I thought that we had the ending to that story, that Nashville finally came around. But it sounds like, oh, no, the story's still ongoing.
It's, you know what, though? I'm so glad it happened the way it did because, you know, even when I was in Nashville, I'd say traditional country, but I didn't necessarily vibe with other artists as well as I'd like to. And it wasn't until I got down here that I realized I was always, I guess, quote unquote, Texas country. I mean, if you look at 90s country in the cowboy hat era, every bit of that was Texas country on a mainstream level. So it kind of opened my eyes and made me understand the artists that made me and where they came from. And so it's kind of gone full circle. So I'm not mad about it a bit. I mean, I still run my business out in Nashville. As I say, they got their format and I got mine, and maybe one day they'll mesh again. But till then, I'm going to keep doing what I do.
Well, you got some 90s George Strait in you. I'm listening to your music going, wow, this is nice. This feels good.
Well, that's my hero. So I get that. And Mark Chestnut are the two comparisons I get pretty often. But I mean, that's everybody asks, you know, who are your influences? I'm like, if you wore a cowboy hat in the 90s, there's a good chance you did.
Can I pull up something that's newsworthy that involves you real quick before we get to your music?
Maybe.
No, it's not bad.
Is this the TMZ thing, Don?
No, yeah, that's the TMZ thing. No, it's right. Let's see if this shows up on the screen. Did it share?
Oh, yep. This past week.
You got married and People Magazine covered it.
I did. I was like, they must be on a slow week this week. But no, it was such an honor to do that. And, you know, it meant a lot more for Amanda to get her on there. She puts up with way more than she ever should have to being with me. And so give her a little bit of something like that, I thought was pretty cool. Thank y'all. I appreciate it.
I love this. You got to wear your cowboy hat at the wedding. Look at that.
Heck yeah. Well, she insisted. I said, I can put on the tux if you want me to. And she just laughed. So I was like, all right, we're good.
That's awesome, man. Well, you had a Cadillac drive you off?
So, okay, here's what's cool about this story is I'm not going to give you the whole from start to finish, but long story short, when I moved from Nashville to Texas, the house that I moved into used to be her grandfather's house. And the neighbor across the street was still, you know, really good friends with her grandma and always told me, if you ever meet that granddaughter, you're going to fall in love. Well, fast forward, I'll be dang I did. Well, her family does Longhorn down here in Texas, and they've teamed up with another couple on a bull that they breed with. And they got talking about this car that he bought from a guy named Don Butler. Well, her grandpa used to just buy all these classic cars. That was his thing. And so they found out that without knowing each other, that Don sold this couple this car that my, you know, in-laws now work with. And so he brought the car out and let us do pictures with it and stuff. You know, Amanda hadn't seen it since back before he had sold it. So it was kind of one of them full circle moments for them.
That's beautiful, man. That's cool. What's it like to have your wedding like on full display for so many to see like that?
Everything we do is on full display in this world. You know,
that's a great point.
I am more on the George Strait side where I probably shoot better at my social media than I am, but I'm just like, you know, there's a certain cutoff to where I feel like you don't need to be that in part of my life. But, you know, I mean, we had so many of our family and friends there, and I mean, some pictures to be put out. I thought it wouldn't too bad. So, but I'm definitely a private person to a fault.
So no plans to compete with the Kardashians.
No, I have zero desire there. I mean, I think Amanda loves watching that show, but if I hear anything things coming on, I just go somewhere else.
Yeah, same here.
Well, let's get into your music. That's why you're here. It's not to be gossip columns. There's other shows for that, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So we're going to get into your song. Oh, plus I want to say this too. The Country Artist of the Year Award taken home. It was the 2023 Arkansas Country Music Awards.
Yes, sir.
That's an honor, eh?
Man, it really is. You know, it's like I've said. I mean, go back to that first number one here in Texas. You spent 11 years being told no, and what you do isn't ever going to work. And so any kind of honor or nomination you get, man, it sure means a lot. So back in my home state to get that, that was pretty cool, especially for my folks to be there and be in the crowd to see it. You know, they've been supporting me since I was a little kid with it. So it sure meant a lot.
Look at that. Well, let's play a video, especially for Stormy. You rock out. Let's go. Here we go. I'm going to hit the mute button here because that's what you have to do. So it doesn't echo. And here it is. Drinking Games is the first song we're going to play. I'm going to go back a little bit here. This is a great song and a great video. Let's take this in at 9 seconds in. Here we go. David Allen Burns.
You call me up at 2 a.m. I know that buzz is kicking in. I'm thinking here we go again. Again. Is it the whiskey or the wine that's got me somewhere on your mind? How it happens every time. Every time I'm getting tired of these drinking games. You start lying in that whiskey way. Saying you're lonely, saying
such a great, that is such a great country song. Let me bring you back in here. And that just blows my mind when they go, that's just too country. That's a killer country song.
Well, I mean,
definitely
who knows?
Hear the George Strait for sure.
100%. Totally. We definitely channeled Mayor George when we wrote that one.
I love hearing that.
I don't know.
I don't know if I've heard people talk about bro country. I don't know if that's like the proper term or not. And I'm so glad that. Yeah, I guess it's more of the more current country where there's some songs that blend in a lot more pop and rap and stuff like that. And I love that your sound is just country.
Well, that's, you know, what I've always wanted to do. And I mean, you know, we talk about Nashville, but I mean, you're seeing guys get chances. I mean, Cody Johnson breaking out of Texas. They've got Randall King popping in now. I mean, Lainey Wilson, shoot, me and her used to run around together. I'm glad to see her killing it. So it's getting back to its roots a little bit. Yeah, what, man.
You knew Lainey before she got big, eh?
Yeah, so me, her, you know, Dylan Scott was a really good friend of mine, and they knew each other from Louisiana, so we all kind of had this little friend group that would hang out and run around together and stuff. And so I'm glad to see my friends having success at least. So,
is that the Heart Like a Truck? That's Lainey Wilson, right?
Yeah, that's her. That's her.
Man, that song went everywhere.
Man, Yellowstone and her took off.
You made the comment, we're getting back to it. Is that really what's happened? It's not so much that it's always been there, but it got ignored. But there's a movement of artists trying to pull it back.
Well, yes and no. I do agree it's always been there, but you know, we've always had to cater to radio, what radio will play and what labels will sign and play. And you know, I don't know that radio, how relevant it's going to be in the long run. And I got a lot of friends in radio. I don't mean that in a bad way, but it's just, there's no more locking the door and being the good old boys club. I mean, everybody has access to new music right here on their phone. And so if you're somebody like me that grew up on that kind of country and don't really care to hear anything else, all I got to do is search and find an artist that plays that. And I've got new artists that, you know, to look forward to and go to their concerts and stuff. So, you know, I don't know if there will be another George Strait. I mean, Cody Johnson, I think, is kind of the lead dog as far as putting our type of country out there. But to me, he's a little more rocking, you know, more the Chris Ledoux thing. But I don't think it's going to be able to go away now for dang sure. But it's just a matter of, I mean, I don't know. If you talk to all my buddies I still write with in Nashville, the labels are all freaking out because they don't know how to manage this and make money. I mean, you got guys like Zach Bryan and Tyler Childress that are doing better than half the major label artists with all these number ones at radio. So it's just, it's the Wild West in the music business. That's where I look at it as. And you just got to figure out your lane, make the best of it, and roll with it. And that's what we've been doing since I've been down here in Texas.
So you consider yourself Doc Holliday, Jesse James? Who are you? Which one are you? Are you swinging to?
Nick, man, I don't know. A combination of it all. I'm just me. I've never been good at taking other people's pages. I've just always kind of done my own thing to a fault. So we'll call it that. I guess if there's some outlaw out there, Billy the Kid. There we go. How about that?
Billy the Kid. Come out with an album called I'm Your Huckleberry.
I was going to say something about a Huckleberry, but okay.
Yeah, I'm Your Huckleberry. That would be awesome. There you go.
I love it. I love it.
Hell, that was Doc Holliday, right? In Tombstone? Yep. That was Doc Holliday, right? Val Kilmer?
Yep.
Like, you ever notice in that movie, when the train goes by, it says 5150 on it?
No.
Yes. Go back and watch it when you get a chance. Yes.
Shout out.
Have y'all seen the videos going around explaining what that actually means?
What, 5150?
I don't know what it means. It's actually diagnosed. Yeah. It's ICD-9 code. Yep.
The Huckleberry part.
Oh,
the Huckleberry part. No.
Mm-mm. So I can't remember the exact. I wish I had the video and saved it. He's not actually saying
with Huckleberry Finn.
No, it's nothing about that. So it's not Huckleberry. It's like Huckleberry or something like that. But that was basically meaning I would be one of your, what's the word? The people that carry the casket. No, the ones that carry the casket when you
die. Paul Bears.
Paul Bears. That's what that actually meant was I'll be
I'm your Huckleberry. Huckleberry. Oh, I like that.
I didn't know that. Sense, I saw a video about it recently, and I was like, I think I'm mind blown like everyone else here.
You know what? When we're done here, one of the first things I'm going to say to my wife is, hey, I want to tell you who I want my Huckleberries to be. And she's going to be like, who have you been talking to?
Well, somebody might better Google and make sure that I didn't get a fake video that I fell for.
It's not Huckleberry. It's Huckleberry.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Carrying
It may not have been Huckleberry, but I know it was not. They you know, spelt it on the video. Genius. Like, it's not Huckleberry. And I was like, I'll be dang. I wonder if nobody caught that, I guarantee.
Wow. And that makes total sense why he would say that.
Yeah.
I'm going to put you down. I'm going to be carrying you out.
Yeah.
I'll be your Huckleberry. Yep.
I'll be your Huckleberry.
Hey, we all learned
something. I got two guns, one for each of you.
I've heard you talk about Texas, and I've heard through the folks at Strike TV, they're always kind of letting me know that a lot of country artists, if they just did nothing more than focus on Texas, they could do very well for themselves and just Texas with consistency and revenue. Is that accurate? Would you say it's true?
It absolutely is, but you know, it depends on what you're wanting to do and how much you want to tour. You know, if you really break into the college scene, which, you know, that's kind of more, I always laugh, say, I feel like Texas is going through its bro country phase. It's gotten now where there's like the big rock thing coming out of here, and that's what all the cool kids are doing.
I'm rock like, man, music? I already wait, 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 come back. Rock music's making a return. Is that what you're saying?
It's, man, it reminds me of like the late 90s and early 2000s rock. And, you know, they, in fact, they don't even call it's not even Texas country anymore. It's Texas music, as they call it. So, but, you know, a lot of those cats, obviously, some of it, I don't know, like I said, I mean, I try to stay on who's in the scene, but people ask me, who new do you listen to? I'm like, so
me,
but at the most, but, no, but, true. I mean, you could tour this state for a long time, make a decent living, but I feel like you've got to branch out too. I mean, you know, for us, you know, I'm trying to hit all those markets that love the true Western side of country and the cowboy culture. So, you know, we're going up to Colorado and Wyoming and Montana and Nebraska and everywhere in between. And, you know, we still have a lot of markets we built back in my Nashville days that I still try to tap into. So, I mean, it's more than just Texas, but I mean, I know guys that never leave the state and are happy, and I know guys that tour worldwide and are happy. So it's just as much or as little as you want to do. But yeah, it's pretty remarkable how much you can play in this state in a year without leaving it.
Well, country music is really, you know, obviously in Europe, it's become massive.
Huge, especially the kind of stuff we do.
And in the Latin community. I mean, you're talking, we just had Orlando Mendez.
Tex-Mex country.
Yeah. Well, and we had Orlando Mendez on. He's from Miami. He calls himself the Cuban Cowboy. He was on The Voice.
Yeah.
But he says in the Miami, the country scene's getting huge there.
Well, I mean, even here, Tejano and traditional country, you're kind of neck and neck with each other. And so it's kind of the same thing. But, you know, it's funny you say that about Miami. I came back to Nashville to do a show and to finish my record back this summer. And my attorney asked me to go to a concert with him that Dwight Yoakam was headlining, and the Mavericks were opening. And, you know, I remember the Mavericks from when I was a little kid. You know, you ever do is bring me. I had no idea that they were like a Miami Vice type band that did just enough country songs to satisfy the labels in the 90s. Dude, their whole thing is straight Miami music. I thought that was so cool. I had no idea. And man, I went and started digging up all their other records after I left that concert.
That's the truth. I remember an alternative band I interviewed that was of Cuban descent. They worked with the Mavericks on a lot of the stuff. So it totally makes sense, right? Yeah, like you said, Stormy the Tex-Mex. Not just food, it's music too.
It is.
Man, I could eat Texas.
Texas is a whole culture and different.
It really is. It's, you know, it's so funny because back, you know, living in Arkansas, there's obviously the Texas-Arkansas, you know, rivalry and all that. You got to hate Texas, this and that. And, you know, living in Tennessee, somebody come in from Texas and they just brag about everything Texas. We're like, we get it. And then I moved here and I'm like, I kind of get it. It's pretty awesome down here. I can't. There's certain restaurants I used to love. I can't even go eat at when I go out of state anymore because everything down here is so good. But it's just, I don't know. It is. The culture down here is just different. It's, you know, obviously there's progression and all. I'm not saying there's not, but there's definitely a time warp of things that have just been, you know, this is Texas. This is the heritage. Here's what we do. And I've really, really embraced that. And it's been cool to watch them truly take me in with it as well.
My wife's family's all Texas, and there's definitely a food advantage there.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, so Texas also has some iconic music venues. Which one would you say that you played in where it was just like, wow, you just got the sense of the history there?
Definitely Green Hall.
I was about to ask Green Hall.
It may be because, in all honesty, I got to play there so early in my Texas adventure that it was kind of surreal. You know, I'm like, I never played the Grand Ole Opry in 11 years, and I've been here for 6 months, and I'm playing Green Hall. Holy heck, you know. But
can you tell us about, Dean, you both seem to know Green Hall. Someone that doesn't know, what is Green Hall? Is that one of the biggest venues in Texas? Or?
Oh, it's not big. Well,
no, it's iconic. It's iconic. I mean, there's only one person that doesn't walk through the front door to play their own show, and that's Willie Nelson. And they literally cut a hole out of the side of the wall and put wire over it so he could walk in. George Strait had to walk in through. You know, it's just if you go back and look from George Strait's like first record, there's an iconic picture of him in there that's in the, you know, the whole album stuff. But it's just the way I've compared it is it's Texas's Grand Ole Opry, but you play true concerts there, not just pop in for two or three songs kind of thing. But it's just the town of Green is its own little entity inside, you know, New Braunfels, San Antonio area. There's no AC. It's literally chicken wire on the outside around like where windows should be all around it. It's strictly a beer joint, cash only. I mean, it's just untarnished, old school Texas, hardwood floor. All day long on the other end of the room where there's not a stage, there's a band playing covers and stuff. It's just, it's an experience. That's all I know how to explain it. But I remember stepping stage on that spot for the first time. And of course, you know, I'm so obsessed with George Strait. That may have been a little bit something with it. Cause I remember thinking to myself, I'm standing where my hero stood. I know that he stood here, you know, played right here. So, but just to see the pictures on the wall and the people that have come through there and the history of the place, man, I mean, it's truly unbelievable.
Yeah. I was wondering if you're going to say that, because I've also heard a lot about Billy Bob's, but for me, my bucket list is actually to see George Strait at Green Hall.
Yeah. Well, you know, he did that album release there, what, two albums ago, and I can't remember. I don't think I was in Texas yet, but man, I'm with you. That would have been awesome. Garth came through there on that dive bar tour that he did. And I remember I got offered tickets to that and almost went, and I thought about the madhouse it was going to be. I was like, I think I'll pass on that one, but.
Yeah,
I mean, Billy Bob's is super cool. I actually haven't played there. I've been there several times and done the awards there and that kind of stuff. But I don't know. Out of all the ones I've at least been to, I'd definitely say Green Hall. There's just something different.
Green Hall. That's cool. Let's play another song of yours.
Come on.
Even the River is on your new album.
It is.
So let's dive into this a little bit. Even the River. I love how Stormy's on it. She just right away knows how to hit the mute button. This is Even the River right here.
Guess I don't blame you, cause you had to go and see the world. You told me 100 times you weren't born a hometown girl. Keep telling myself that it ain't me. Everything around here, find somewhere else to be. Cause even the river runs away from this town. The sun don't always stick around. It's like God made this old highway to go down. Cause even the river runs away from this town.
Beautiful song. That is just a beautiful song. And that's one of those beautiful ballads there, David.
Man, it is. I'm seeing a theme here. Both songs y'all have played, I wrote with Wade Kirby, who to me is one of the best songwriters I've ever gotten the chance to be in the writing room with. But he, I know when I want to really think out of the box and really dive deep, I know he's the guy to bring that out on. I had that song idea forever and never wrote it. And man, it was cool watching that one come to life.
You know, what's cool for me is, so when the music, we talk about this a lot. I talk about it a lot on Sirius XM. When the music shifted for rock from the 80s into the 90s, I'll admit I was a slow adopter of grunge. I had a hard time making that transition. I found myself going to country at that time period. And that's also when I met my wife. So there are certain songs that when I hear, it just takes me back to that moment when I met my wife. Your music stirs the, I wasn't listening to it in the 90s, but it tickles that emotion in me the exact same way those songs do from that era. It's really cool.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, I think the big thing for me was I really dove into the songwriting from that era. And, you know, once again, not talking bad about anybody, everybody does their own thing, but man, it's just the art and the craft of songwriting was just so much deeper back then. It had so much more meaning behind it. There was such more of a thought process behind it. And I don't know, to me, that's the standard and that's what I try to write. So I'm glad to hear that people are, at least it's triggering that mindset somehow.
It's triggering it. It really does.
I have a saying for that. That's called sitting inside somebody's heaven.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. That's cool.
I know. That was so great when you had that, Stormy. That was so awesome. I swear, you got to make that into a shirt or something. It's so cool. Well, how about another one? One Step Away.
Yeah.
What, and I like the artwork here on the cover of this single. Here it is right here. One Step Away. Let's do this. Another great song. This is on the new album. So get ready for it. One Step Away right here. Here we go. I think I fix the audio. There it is. Yep, let's do this right here. One step away.
Baby, it's one, two step away. You in my arms while the bar band plays. A 3 minute stream, gotta get to you song. Already in love when the lights come on. Baby, it's one, yeah, one, two step away. The rest of your life, all of my time.
Look at that thing with your voice, man. That's just like, that's sure when your wife heard that, she was like, yeah, okay, I'll marry you. You know, that's right?
Yeah, she sure didn't marry for any of my looks or, you know, my charm.
So. That twangy twist he's got going on, I don't even know how to explain it, but I know
what you're talking about. Oh, that's so cool. Yeah, I know what you mean, that little thing in there, right?
Yeah, it's
them curly cues, that's what we call them, curly cues. Yeah. That's that Keith Whitley influence coming out there.
Yeah, the enunciation on certain words that twang it.
Yeah, exactly. One, two step away. I think I was saying one step away. It's one, two.
Yeah, we knew what you meant.
Well, I want people to go find it. Like, I thought he said it was one step away. One, two step away, which becomes a two-stepping song at a line dancing. So you got that figured out.
Man, that sucker fills up. That's the thing down here in Texas when you play live, you know, until you're at the point where you're, you know, mosh pit style or everybody's up front, you know, screaming. It's all about, can you feel that dance floor? And, buddy, you want to talk about a song that fills that dance floor. That one does it quick.
Oh, yeah. You can see it.
Not to break your flow down, but are you going to play the blues man?
Who, me?
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. I'm going to ask David like pull out a guitar and play it, but no.
If I got one up here, you about caught me off guard.
No, I'm kidding. I wouldn't do that to you, man. We would have prepared you.
I love that one.
Well, hold on. I'm going to pull it up since you asked for it. I had She Don't and Too Many Honky Tonks lined up. Let me see here. What was the song again?
Blues Man.
Blues Man. Hold on.
Well, here, while he's finding it, I'll tell you about that. I hope Amanda ain't watching this because I told her, you know, I do an acoustic cover song of some throwback, you know, country, something that, you know, made me want to do it at the end of every record. And this was kind of me and Amanda's song without knowing, you know, she loves it and all that kind of deal. And anyways, I just always think of her anytime I sing it. And so I thought, well, just getting married, this would be a good surprise. The album comes out 3 weeks after the wedding. And so she don't even know it's on the record yet. So I hope she ain't listening downstairs.
Well, we don't have to bust the surprise or whatever.
Oh, no, we can wait.
You're fine. I guarantee you she's down there watching TV and not giving two dangs about me right now.
Well, we're going to find out, aren't we?
One way to find out.
Come sprinting up the stairs. So let me do this. There's no video for this. I want to play the audio here. This is, again, I had it queued up here. Where'd it go? It's called Blues Man. Let's play this. It's a request from Dean. Here we go.
I'm just a singer, a natural born guitar ringer. I'm kind of a clinger to sad old songs, not a walk behind her. I'm a new note finder, but my name's a reminder of a blues man that's already gone. So I started drinking, took some things and messed up my thinking. I was sure sinking when you came along. Was alone in the spotlight, not too much left inside. She changed all that one night. She sang me this song. Said, hey, baby, I love you.
I'm going to stop it there so that it gets people teasing to go buy their record when it comes out. So you got to tease people.
Yeah, one more week, man. One more week.
What do you think of that, Dean? That song.
You know, the power of a voice and an acoustic guitar. when you can stir the emotions, and you got the dynamics in there, and just the it's incredible. It really,
I appreciate it, man. Thank you, brother.
Yeah. Storytelling.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Not everybody can do it.
No,
you're the kind of guy that, like, when you're playing that song in a room, it's going to be dead silent. You'll get your pin drop when you play that song.
You know, ironically, we used to end the show with that. And, you know, everybody, you know, granted, we go back to the ending on the big energy and all that stuff now. But, man, it was really cool, you know, watching a room just energy, and then drop and go down to that. And I kind of miss it, but. You're right, man. It's cool watching a song like that really connect with folks. Of course, I mean, so many people love it, from Hank Jr.'s version to Alan Jackson's version, and, you know, the millions of others out there. But I've always loved playing that song.
When we
I saw that, I was like, oh, let me check this one out. And it's like, wow, you owned that one. You owned it.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, brother.
Yeah, when we had John Barry on, and I told John, your love amazes me, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And he would do that acoustic, and I said, I bet you can't hear a pin drop, because that's exactly what happens in a room. I go, you know, as a performer, that's the equivalent to 80,000 people screaming when you get everyone dead silent in a room listening to you perform.
No one's talking. You're dead right.
Yeah, it's the same. You probably get the same goosebumps as a performer when you hear dead silence and you know the room is full.
It is. I mean, we always get a rush off the screams and the loud and all that, but you're right, man. When you get that, it's kind of like, all right, this is cool.
They're listening, and they're feeling. Absolutely. Right? That's awesome. David, now, do you like your whole name being called, or when we're talking to you, call it David or what?
David's good. You know, to tell the story on that, I'd never used my middle name, and the only time I heard my middle name was when I was in trouble and about to get my butt beat by my mom or dad. And then I signed that first record deal, and all that would show up was that Talking Heads David Byrne guy. So the label head goes, you can change your name or add your middle name. So I was like, I guess I'll add my middle name. So it's David
Byrne. Oh yeah. Letting the days go by. All right. Well, David, Adam Burns is here. David, thank you for being here, man.
Yeah, man. Appreciate you having me.
All right. Have a great night. Go get his record next week.
Yeah.
Game on. See y'all soon.
Thanks, man.
Hey, likewise. Bye-bye.
Later on. Bye-bye.